When you start out for the Lord, you should never even think about, much less want to turn back. It's a good life living for God. You say, is it a perfect life? Do you ever have problems? Sure. We'll be talking about that a little bit this morning. We're living in a cruel world, folks. Very cruel. When you hear about on the news about moms drowning their babies, slamming them up against the wall, breaking their little arms and legs, crushing their ribs, all this is horrible. That's unacceptable to God. We're living in a bad time, folks, really. I mean, we like to kind of stick our head in the sand and say everything's okay, but it's not. I want to tell you just exactly what's about to happen. Jesus is getting ready to say, here I come. All he's waiting on right now is the Father to look over at him and say, son, I've had about all I can take of this world. Go get my people. They're worried. They're tired. They're stressed. They're persecuted. They're lied on. They're cheated. They're robbed. They're laughed at, made fun of. But I want to tell you something, folks. The end is coming. Very soon. I want to talk to you this morning, a message entitled, Now What? You ever get up and everything seems like it's going pretty smooth and all of a sudden it just, bam, something else happens. And then something else takes place. And then the first thing you know, there's four or five things that hit you right in the face. You got up, maybe you've had a flat tire, the car didn't start. Maybe you got up and your pilot light went out on your heat. Maybe you got up and you forgot to get milk to go in your cereal. Maybe you got up and everything was going smooth until you got up and then it just fell apart. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. You're not by yourself. We all have those times. Does Christian people have those times? Yep, sorry to tell you, but that's true. If you'll stand for reading God's Word, we'll read a verse and then you can sit back down after we pray, if you would, please. I want to say thank you for being in the house of God. Thank God that we have woke up again this morning and He's blessed us to see another day. And I'm grateful, aren't you? I'm grateful. God is so good to us, folks. We don't deserve how good He is. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, beginning with verse 16, the only verse I want to read to you right at the moment. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifice God is well pleased. Now I want you to notice those first four words, but to do good. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you, God, that you allowed us back in your house one more time. Thank you, God, that we're living this morning, that we can breathe and talk and pray and seek your face. And God, I pray for every individual that's here this morning that's not feeling well. Lord, that you touch their body and give them healing for their body. And I'm praying this morning, God, that you would help us all, Lord, that we could just bind together and believe and trust and thank you, God, for the wonderful things that you're going to do in the remainder of this day. So bless your people today, God, and help us, Lord, that we can continue to press on in Jesus' name and the church. Amen. Praise God. He is wonderful. Let me give you a little illustration this morning. There's a story talking about a family that had several generations, and their last name was, believe it or not, Fishback. Fishback family had several preachers that stood solid for their church for many years. One of the Fishback preachers had a personal motto. He would tell his friends, and as he was leaving, he would say, as I asked you to notice those first four letters, first four words, excuse me, but to do good. Few understood why or what Vernon was really saying. He based "but to do good" on this Bible scripture that we read to you, and his personal motto still speaks out from the grave. This would be a better world if we could learn or listen and learn, just like the Fishback motto, "but to do good." In a summary this morning, I want to read to you, life has a tendency to dash our dreams and imprison our hopes. We can face different types of traps. There's metal bars, and then there's mental bars. Joseph had a dream, and now what? The well, slave market, auction, Potiphar, prison, forgotten. Nothing could stop God's plan from developing, though. Now what are we going to do? Now what? This is a trap. Bondage again and bondage again. And have you ever learned that procrastination is a terrible prison of great bondage? Romans 8 and 15 says, "For ye have not received the gift of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Procrastination brings bondage again in our life if we're not careful. Procrastination bondage brings tears and trouble and fears at times. We must learn to be free ourselves. And this is what Jeff was teaching on this morning. So we see, or say rather, that it is a fact that we need to free ourselves from this bondage. I think I'll do that tomorrow. Here's the key right here to procrastination is putting things off till tomorrow. Let's not worry about it today. Let's just put it off tomorrow. My wife was cleaning the house, and I said, "Why don't you just go ahead and put it off tomorrow?" She said, "I needed to get it done today." And I said, "Well, okay." But I have a tendency, if there's something that needs to be done, I wanted to get it done today. I don't want to wait till tomorrow, because there may not be no tomorrow. And if we have something lacking in our life and we need to get it done and we need to do things, hey, we need to understand that we don't need to put it off and just keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. That's just like you get a monthly bill in the mail. You can say, "Well, I'll put it off. I'll go pay it tomorrow, or I'll mail it in tomorrow." And then tomorrow comes, you say, "Well, you know, I've got plenty of time. I've got 10 days or so what. I'll just put it off another day. No need in being in any hurry." And then you may lay it down on the counter, or either you may lay it down on your desk or wherever, and it could possibly get covered over with a paper or some junk mail. And you kindly let it slip your mind and you forget about it. And then all of a sudden then you're wondering why that they're sending you a reminder that your bill has not been paid. You're delinquent. So how did it happen? Well, I want to tell you how it happened, because you kept putting it off. This is why I think when we get our bills, we ought to, if any way possible, go ahead and pay them, get it over with, because there's only one time to do it. We got our tax bill here not too long back, and I think the very next day I went and paid my taxes. Sister Gordon said, "We got plenty of time, no need worrying about it." Yeah, but I want to get it paid. Because I want to tell you, you get a 2% discount, you pay it early. If you don't, you're going to have to pay a penalty a little bit later and all this. So just go ahead and get it over with. If you got the money to pay it, pay it. And if you don't, hey, you better be trying to get it, because, hey, they'll take your place or whatever it might be. But what I'm trying to tell you this morning is, folks, we don't need to continue putting off things. People puts off their salvation. They think, hey, I've got plenty of time. I'm a young person. I've got one of these days I'm going to get right with God. One of these days I'm going to stop sinning. One of these days everything is going to be all right. I'm going to have more time to serve God. And right now I'm just having too much fun. I can just run, kick up my heels and do all these things and all these things that I know is not really right. It's not all that bad, but it's not right. But mom and dad taught me that should not be. But you just put it off and you think, I'm going to quit that a little bit later and everything will be all right. This is like a lot of people, they think they'll put off giving their life to Jesus and everything will be all right. They got plenty of time. But then when that death angel comes and knocking at your door, I'm telling you, hey, you may not have time to get everything fixed up with the Lord. So we need to understand how good God is, and he blesses us and watches over us, does he not? So he's good. So we must learn to free ourselves. So now what? A wise man suggested that every living person should be locked up in a hopeless prison for a year. He's supposed to have been a real wise man. And what he's saying is that sometime we need to be taught a good lesson. He suggests that few could ever learn the beauty of freedom until they understood what a prison life is really like. So if each person were locked up for a year, they would learn the reality of bondage, and they would also learn the beauty of freedom. So I want to talk about something this morning about being locked up, but before I do, there was a black man that lived back in 1850 as a slave, as the story goes. His life was nothing but oppression and fear. And in the early 1860s, a man ran away from the plantation and lived several years in hiding. He would rob people's gardens in the summer, and in the winter, food was much harder to get. One Friday, the slave went into a store and stole enough food to live on, and the storekeeper asked him what he was doing. The slave explained he had to live. Someday, he said, I'll repay you for all of this food that I've got. The storekeeper said, hey, listen to me a minute before you run off. He said, in 1865, several years ago, our president, Abraham Lincoln, he signed a proclamation on January the 1st, 1863, that declared all persons held as slaves henceforth shall be free. Sir, you have been free for 2 years, but you're still living as a slave. Now, this story has a moral to it because I want to tell you something, folks. John 8:36 says, a son, therefore, shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed. This slave had ran away from what he thought was slavery, but yet he was still in bondage because he didn't even know he'd been set free. You see, a lot of people still don't know, or they're not taking it for granted or whatever, that they've been set free by the blood of Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary around 2,000 years ago, and they're still living as a slave because they have never accepted the reality that Jesus paid the price for them. You see, as Abraham Lincoln signed that bill to set them all free, Jesus has made that same thing for us. He signed a proclamation to us when he died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood that he has set us all free. But a lot of people don't understand that they have been set free, but they just don't know about it, or they ignore it. So here this man was, this slave. He had been free for 2 years, but yet he was still in bondage. He was still in hiding and still stealing and all of this. But as he told the store owner, I will pay it back when I'm free. In other words, when I can work and make no money, I will pay this back. He had good intentions, but he didn't realize, hey, you've been hiding for 2 years and you didn't have to. A lot of people are still hiding and thinking that they're having a good time or whatever, but they're still in bondage. Why? Because they haven't been set free. Even though the price has already been paid, they still don't understand how that this could be. Jesus loves you enough. That's how it could be. He's wonderful, is he not? So now what? There's two kinds of bondages or imprisonments that I want to talk about. One is the metal bars. The metal bars is a place they lock you up like a monkey or a dog or something, and you can't get out. You peep out through the little, as my older brother used to say, them little iron windows. He called them iron windows. You'd peep out between them iron windows and all this, but you can't get out. And then there's another called the mental bars. And these are both very, very serious. So now what? God can use any way he wants to play out his plan. Joseph was only around 17 years old, according to the historians. He was around 17 years old when his mean brothers, they sold him into slavery. 13 years, Joseph's journey seemed hopeless. Doom and gloom and despair. But I want to tell you something, folks. Can you imagine brothers selling their own brother into slavery? And there was something that happened because they didn't like him. Because he felt like that, he knew his dad loved him and all this. But the thing about it is he had a dream. And that dream, when he began to tell his brothers and dad the dream, his dad even told him, shut up. Just hush, we don't want to hear it. His own dad told him that in a roundabout way. But his brothers, they were very, very hateful and didn't like him because he said, you'll come and bow down before me. And they thought, bow down before you? Hey, come on, man, we're never bowing down to you, you little wimp. We're not going to do it. But I want to tell you something, folks. God has a plan, and he has a plan for each of us. So one man said one time, he said, I just can't understand what God is doing. I think God needs to explain something to me. God don't have to explain nothing to you. Who do you think you are? He's God. He's our Heavenly Father. He don't have to explain what he's doing. He's just doing it. And amen, I'm so glad, aren't you? So he's wonderful and he's great and I love him. Praise God. So now what? God has a plan and we need to trust the plan. In Genesis 39 and 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. How many nights did Joseph lay in the prison? In that prison cell, probably thinking, hey, I'm just thinking about home, how things was with dad and mom and all this. And now, here I am. So he probably thought, I'm dreaming of dad and how is all this happening and so forth. But he also understood that, hey, this dream that I told them got me in trouble. But here I am in prison now, locked up, innocent, but still yet I'm in prison. I want to tell you something, folks. There's been a lot of people went to prison that were innocent. And there's still people, no doubt, in prison that they're really innocent. Why? Because somebody told a lie on them trying to get out of something themselves in a lot of cases, and they wound up in prison because they were not guilty, but still because the evidence looked like it was, or because some lawyer had enough knowledge to twist the word around to where that he could get them into prison. But I'm telling you, this is something that Joseph did, because Joseph goes into the prison cell, and there's Pharaoh's servants, This one time, there's a baker and a butler. They're thrown in jail with him. And they're looking very sad. And then they tell Joseph they've had a dream. And Joseph listens with much compassion to their dream. And it tells us in Genesis 40:4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward. But the butler dreamed a dream, and it was a good dream, that he would return to Pharaoh. But then on the other hand, the baker, he dreamed a dream, and when he heard it, he wasn't pleased. And why wouldn't he be sad? Because in his dream that he'll be hanged. He'll be hanged from a gallows. So now what? Well, just maybe that this guy that is a Hebrew boy, maybe he can tell us all this dream and what it's about and all of this. But they're locked up, and they were guilty, but he was innocent. Joseph was innocent. Joseph was a man that was a great lover of God. But here he was in prison and all this, and he told him the dream, and he said, hey, when you all go back to Pharaoh, in other words, you put in a good word for me. I'd like to get out of here. I'd like to get out of this prison and all this. Guess what? When they got out, they do like so many others. All they're worrying about is their own skin, and they forgot about Joseph told them the dream and all of this. But as time went on, Pharaoh had a dream. Nobody could interpret the dream. But then after that, hey, here this butler said, oh, king, I know a guy that can interpret dreams. Well, no doubt the king says nobody else has, so bring him forth. But here he is in prison. He's still all beardy-faced and all this, and no doubt looks real horrible. So he tells him to shave his beard, clean himself up, change clothes, and then present himself before Pharaoh. And when he did then, Pharaoh says, hey, I've heard that you can interpret dreams. I've heard that you can tell the dreams. But Genesis 41:1 says, and it came to pass at the end of the 2 years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Pharaoh had a dream. The dream was 7 fat cows and 7 lean or bony cows. And then the second dream was a dream of 7 good corn years and then 7 bad years of corn. So now then, he's dreamed this, and he don't know how to interpret it. He don't know what's going on. So in Genesis 41:9, and he spake to the chief butler and to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. In other words, I do remember, king, but hey, Pharaoh, I remember, but hey, I had forgotten. Isn't this something? This is my fault, but I had forgotten. I want to tell you something, folks. We sometimes forget, do we not? So Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and he brought him forth hastily out of the dungeon. Now they already had him back in a dungeon where he couldn't see nothing hardly. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. But I want you to notice something, because Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard said of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. But notice this right here. I think this is so valuable and important, this next verse 16. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it's not in me. Can you imagine Pharaoh when he said that? It's not in me. In other words, it's not in me to interpret a dream. But he didn't stop there. So here's what he said. He said, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now what? Joseph's dreams come true. And then what he's really talking about, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And then there's going to be 7 years that's going to be a drought. There's not going to be anything that can grow or anything else. So now Pharaoh says to his people, hey, who can we get would be any smarter than this? There's something I want you to understand, because here is a Hebrew boy, and here he is over there in bondage in Egypt because he'd been sold into slavery, and God has a plan. I want to tell you something, folks. Every single one of you sitting here today, God has a plan for you. You say, well, why in the world am I going through what I'm going through? Because God has a plan. His plan is not going to be stopped. You say, well, I don't understand. If God has a plan, why don't he just go ahead and do it? Well, why in the world did he allow Joseph to be in the prison for 13 years? Why did he allow him to be in that predicament? One thing, if you think about it, there's something about 30 years for the Jewish people and so forth. There's something about it, and I don't have time to get into all that. But he was, notice how old he was when he got locked up. He was 17. Okay, add 13. What does that make? 30, right? If I figured right. I believe that's right. Okay, he was 30 years old. 30 is something very important. That is a time of priesthood, and there's a lot of things. And I could preach a message right there, but I got to move on. So won't you notice something about this? Here he is now, and Pharaoh says, who would be wiser? So what does he do? He makes him governor over all the land. Now, can you imagine a Hebrew boy? And he's put in a position over in Egypt. Here he is, just a lad. Well, he's about 30 right now, but he's still a lad. But he's in a position. And he tells old Pharaoh what really needs to be done. For this 7 years, we need to grow. In other words, we need to grow everything we possibly can. We need to grow it and store it back. Because you're going to have 7 years of plenty, but then you're going to have 7 years are going to be lean years. They're going to be parched years. The corn won't grow. There's going to be a drought. There's all these things going to take place. So we need to store up all of this. And then we can sell it back to the people. Isn't that something? God can take somebody that thinks they're not very smart, and he can give them a plan, and it works. But if you notice, almost every child of God has been through some very hard trials. But God has a plan. For Eva Gross, God has a plan for you. I'm going to leave that alone. Other than, he has a plan for you. The devil's tried to hinder, but he still has a plan for you. God has a plan for you, even though you've been hindered in all of this. But now, after the 7 years is all stored up, 2 years of drought has passed by. Guess what? He looks up and here comes his brothers. Here comes all of his brothers excepting the baby boy, Benjamin. Every one of them's coming, and they have bags, and they have money in those bags that their dad has sent them to buy some food. They're getting on starvation. They didn't have anything to eat, so now they need something to eat. But where are they going? Down in the enemy's camp? Down in Egypt? Down in an ungodly place, they think? But when they get down there and find out, hey, there's somebody down there that God has already put in place to take care of all of that. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. God is putting people in the position that his plan is going to work. And we need to do our part. Amen. We need to pray and seek God. God would give us the right direction and them the right direction. Everything will be all right. God is setting something up for a great plan that he's been planning for a long time. What's it going to be? His return. His return is close. Nigh, even at the door. But he says, when you see all these things coming to pass, and he goes into a lot of detail in all of this, then he's coming. The bridegroom's coming. But I want you to think about something. Never have we ever seen things line up like we're seeing right now. Everything's lining up. Everything is coming to a head. Everything is, hey, I'm telling you, fighting, war, and fussing, and arguing, and bickering, and carrying on all the time. And they're supposed to be helping people, but all they want to do is fuss and argue and all of this. How in the world can we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, help somebody else if all we want to do is bicker and fuss and argue with somebody else? We don't have time to argue and fuss. We don't have time to nitpick at little old things. I want to tell you something, folks. We need to stay ourselves prepared and ready for Jesus' return. He's coming. So now here Joseph is. He's down there. He's in charge. Here comes all the brothers. They have all their money in their bags and all of this. And Joseph tells them how he put their money back in their bag. Put their money back in their bag. You see, Joseph was in the position because under the old law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, he could have took their life. But God had plans for them. God had plans for all of his brethren even. Because some way, there had to be something that changed. So finally, he reveals to them who he is. And I want to tell you, the tension must have been terrible. You sold me into slavery. Can you imagine? Their heart probably dropped. Oh my goodness, he's going to kill us all. He's got us down here and he's going to kill us all. Dad sent us down here to buy food, and here Joseph is in charge, the one we sold into slavery. He's going to kill us all. What are we going to do? Joseph had no intentions of killing them all. What Joseph did was, he put their money back in their bags. He inquired, is my dad still alive? 13 years he'd been gone. Not a word from his dad. Not a word to hear if his dad was still alive or not. And once he asked him, they were so afraid that they didn't want to tell him right away. Because of the fear, because they feared their life. He said, in other words, I'm not going to do you any harm. And then they shared their dad was still alive. But you see, when he told him these things, he had to turn away and weep. His heart was broken. He said, you sold me into slavery. You meant me evil. But God put me here for a reason, to feed you, to keep you from starving to death. In other words, this is exactly what he did. But every time they'd look at him, no doubt they were ashamed and felt terrible because they had sold their brother out. But when it started out, they put him on an auction block. And they sold him like a cow or a goat or sheep or something. Sold him at this auction to the highest bidder. But the guy that bought him, Potiphar, he seemed to be a decent guy. But then he had an old lustful-eyed wife that she wanted to lay with Joseph, and Joseph wouldn't lay, and he ran. And so she thought, hey, yeah, he's turned me down. Now I'm going to get him killed. The little rascal. He could have been living it up with me, and now look at him. So she goes and tells her husband, he tried to make his way with me, have his way with me and all of this. Lied. And no doubt the husband thought, hey, you little rascal, here I put you in charge here. I've done all this and all this. Throw him in prison. Threw him in prison because he was innocent because of a lie. They lied on Jesus when he was here walking on earth. They lied on him. They told one lie right after another. And he blasphemeth and all of this. Well, Jesus didn't blaspheme. Jesus didn't tell a lie. Jesus didn't do anything but good all the time he was here on earth. But still yet, look what happened. Well, what you've got to realize, though, God had a plan then. God has a plan for you that are here today. Now, I'm telling you something, folks. God has a very, very big plan for each one of you that are here. Why would I say something like this? Plain and simple, because he does. You don't have time to play around. You don't have time to play church. You don't have time to patty cake around and it'll be okay. Everything will be all right. No, it's time to get serious with God. Can you imagine Joseph? The only way he had to go was up or out of there. The only way we've got getting out of this whole cruel world, it's either going down or up. And I don't want to go down to you. I want to go up and be with Jesus forevermore. But he has a plan for you. You say, but why am I going through all this stuff, Brother Gordon? I don't know, other than God has a plan. He's trying you. He's proving you. And this is exactly what he was doing with Joseph. He was giving him time and all that. There was a plan. There was a space. And everything had to fall in place. In our lives and in this church world that we're in today, there's a plan God has, and it's just like working a puzzle, and it's all coming together one piece at a time. But the thing about it is, it's like working a puzzle. You ever work a jigsaw puzzle? Oh man, I tell you, I used to like to work them 500 pieces, and then got up to 1,000, and I quit. But you started with the outer rim, and you got all the corners and all the outside first, or that's what I did or tried to. And then you would start working and looking at the colors and the shape and the form and all of this, and you'd find it working another piece here and another piece there, and you can't force them in because it'll tear your puzzle up. It's like we are. We can't force God's plan. We have to go every step of the way, one piece at a time. It's amazing what God can do with our life like a jigsaw puzzle. It all comes together. So I want to ask you something today. Are you willing to allow God to fulfill the plan he has for your life? Or are you just going to say, well, everything's going to be all right. Come on to music, would you please? Are you just going to say, well, it'll play out, everything will be all right? And then again, you may say, well, but, you know, I don't know why God would have a plan for me. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, and I'm ready to go to heaven. I never found in there where Joseph was a sinner, did you? I never found in there where he was a lost person, but still yet God took him and used him and used that plan for his purpose. He used that plan of Joseph to save his family. Now think about this. All these people, all of Joseph's family. And Joseph went to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh. And he was kind of sad to talk to Pharaoh, no doubt, but he asked Pharaoh if it'd be all right just to bring his family in and have a place for them. Yeah, take them over in the land of Goshen. Take them over in that place over there. That'll be fine. In other words, he was so grateful for what Joseph has done for his land and all of this. Sure, just bring them on down and feed them and take care of them. So God had a place prepared for his people. God has a place prepared for you and your people, folks, and it's called heaven. Amen. Would you stand this morning all over the building? Don't let God down. Don't let God down. I'm telling you, he has a plan for you, and this plan is great, is it not? When Joseph was down in the pit, no doubt, when he saw that rope dangling down, thinking, hey, I'm going to be set free. He wasn't set free. That rope meant he was coming out of the pit. He was free from that pit. But he was going to the auction block. He was going somewhere else. But all of that come together because God had the plan. And all of your life is coming together. All the trials, all these things that's going place, taking place, excuse me, is all for a reason. God has a plan for you. Don't let him down. Don't let him down. This altar's open this morning. If you'd like to stay in God's plan, hey, if you're wondering why you've been going through all of this, could it be that God has a plan for your life and he's looking out in the future and you just need to fall right in line and let God help you? This altar's open. You need to come this morning. Come on, the altar's open. Will you come?